speaking today with Ivan Mayers, one of the candidates for city council in the special election. Ivan, a question I ask everybody, why are you running for this job?
Okay, well first, Charles, thanks for coming out and spending a little time with me for the interview. I'm running for the job because my interest is economic development. And I wanted to influence the economic development policies of the city so that these policies benefit all the residents. As I said, my background is economics and also heavily involved in community service. That's a thread that's been all through my life. And I see running for office has given me another platform from which to serve the community. And the area of economic development, I think, is vital to community growth.
Okay. What do you bring to this race that none of the other candidates do?
Primarily my background in economics. I think politics and economics go together. Having political power without having economic power is like an empty vessel. My background is very heavily in economics.
Now, is this an academic background?
Academic and 33 years at ExxonMobil. My work at ExxonMobil was strategic planning and also looking at, how the energy policies of the country and various companies, affect the country, and even worldwide. And so what I'm bringing to this is the two pieces, the understanding of policy, how policy affects the community. That's through my community service I've done full-time over the last 5 years. And also the 33 years really of heavy-duty economic planning and strategizing for the largest company in the world.
Okay, so let's talk about economic planning for a minute. Where do you see the city, shall we say, lacking in that department, and what would you like to do about it?
Well, the city has done well. I mean, this is a city where people come to work. I mean, you don't come to move to Houston to be in the mountains or to be by the beach. Most people, you're either born here or they came here to work. So this is this city's an economic engine. It's done well, but the growth is not even. You have areas where people have really benefited from the policies of the city over the years, and then you have areas where people have not. The unfortunate thing is that for a city like Houston, 500,000 people live below at the poverty line, and we can do better than that. And then, like it or not, with the massive immigration into the city, the need for even-handed economic policy development is going to be greater and greater.
Okay. Well, broadly speaking, what sort of policy development would you like to see done that either isn't being done now or isn't being done enough now?
Well, it all has to tie in together. For example, we need to have more job creation. We need to be able to attract jobs to the city. To do some of these things, you need to have a population that is educated. I'm a real fan of community colleges. I'm not saying that I think the colleges are doing the right thing today, but I think with the type of people, their high energy level, their desire to better themselves that are coming to this city, the community college system where it provides training and in 2 years some degree of accreditation, is a real plus. And when I pay my tax bill and I see the amount I pay for the community college system, I don't mind that. I think they're vital to the future of the city. I think that, even things like, the infrastructure naturally, people have to be able to get around and move around in a way that's economic to the city and economic to themselves and is non-polluting. The transportation system that we have in the city is not really built for the future. I mean, just making the Katy Freeway, wider and wider and having people live further and further out, is not really, I think, in the best long-term interest of the city and the city's economic development. There needs to be, more infilling. People need to be closer to their jobs. A real benefit to this area is housing costs. I mean, housing costs in Houston, are low compared to other parts of the country. Another area that we have to really look at is taxes. businesses are not going to relocate, their employees or grow employees in an area where it has high or unfair taxes. Property taxes in the city are very high. When I look at my tax bill, I'm just amazed at what I see, and I'm also amazed at the distribution of how the money, where the money goes. So we have to have a, taxes are necessary. I don't think anybody would be foolish enough to advocate an income tax in the state of Texas. It's not gonna happen in this state, at least in my lifetime. And so property taxes, do have a place, but we need to make sure that the tax revenue that we give to the city, that we give to HISD, in my case, living, in HISD, that we give to the Port Authority, that we give to the community college system, that we give to the airport or whoever, that those dollars are really wisely spent. The government has an obligation for what I call continuous improvement. I mean, every year it should look at its budget almost as a zero-based budget and decide, do we really need this? Are we really spending the money well? How can we cut the number of programs that are ineffective? Are all our people really working effectively? Those are the kind of questions that if I was on city council, I'd be really asking before I would sign off on a new budget.
Okay. Is there any one specific issue amongst these that you would really like to push, and what specifically do you have in mind?
Well, I would particularly push in the whole area of economic development. I think my first priority would be economic empowerment to all the citizens of Houston, whether they live, out on Memorial, or whether they live in the Fifth Ward, whether they live, near the Ship Channel, is encouraging and having programs that provide incentives in a sense that, they can become part of the, economic system. And looking at, economic development, crime is a part of that. I talked to one youngster recently, and he was going the wrong way. And I talked to him about it, and he said, well, why should I go to school? Why should I study? Why should I listen to people when there's not going to be any jobs out there for people like me? And they shouldn't feel that way. A lot of our thoughts about crime is, crime, is just bad people doing bad things because they want to. But that's not it. A lot of times crime is because people feel they have no alternative, that they have no stake in the system. And so in pushing economic development, the reason I'm focusing on economic development is to give citizens and residents of the city a feeling they have a stake in Houston, that they're part of this overall system that we have.
Okay. Generally speaking, city council has worked in consensus with Mayor White on most issues. Do you see yourself as being part of that consensus, or do you see yourself being more in opposition?
Oh, not in opposition. I like the job that he's doing. I think Bill White has proven me a good mayor. I worked on Bill's first campaign. I had the honor of knowing his brother. I met his brother back in 1992 before Bill White was even a blip on the radar. And, knowing his brother and knowing how the two boys basically were raised, I think Bill's heart is in the right place. I have faith in what he's doing. When I get to city council, I see myself, supporting him when I think he's right. When I think, he or other council members are going in a direction I'm not comfortable with, I'll try to, present my argument, with a degree of logic and also with a degree of passion. I think the mayor, works on the basis of logic, but I think he tempers that with a great deal of compassion. And that's the way I think I am, and I think I'm in alignment with him, and I work as hard as I can to either help him do what he thinks is right for the city, and if he's not doing what I think is right, help to convince him to look at it in a different way.
So, given that Mayor White sets the agenda for city council, Houston mayor has a lot of power relative to other mayors and other city councils.
Yes.
How do you see yourself getting the items that are important to you on the council agenda so that they can be brought to fruition?
Well, I think the mayor has an interest in economic development, and I know he has, people on his staff who are devoted to economic empowerment. You know, I would see myself really being an advocate in those areas. And when I think that, for example, his process for letting contracts, when I think maybe it's not being fair to to all the constituents, to bring that to the mayor's attention.
Okay. Let's talk about crime for a second, since you brought that up. Recent crime statistics released by the city indicate that crime has been decreasing lately after a bad year last year. Do you agree that this is the trend, and what do you think city council should be doing to help further that?
Well, I don't think you can look at any statistics on a one-year basis as a snapshot. You've got to look at trends. And I know that the crime rate was going down for a while, and then Katrina evacuees came and people felt the crime rate was going up. And then you have statistics that look at the murder rate separately and then look at all crimes together. I've worked with numbers for all my life, really, and I know that many times you can use numbers to tell a story the way you want the story to be told. The important thing to me is that what the trends are, and worrying about how do we, make sure the trends are downward, not just for 1 or 2 years, maybe during my term or during Bill White's term, but long term. The only way we're going to develop this city and make it an attractive place to live is if the crime, is down and really under control. I think in the short term, we have to put more police officers, on the streets. The police department is understaffed. They're having trouble, recruiting people, partially because of the, salary and benefits. But putting more police officers on the street is only a short-term fix. I think we need to look at the root cause of crime. And I think the root cause is folks feeling like they don't really have a stake in the city. And also the disparity of wealth in the city. We have some areas of this city, that are extremely wealthy, and we have some areas of this city, that are very poor. And one of the things that I like about the activities I've been able to be involved in over the last 5 years in my community service is that I touch all those areas. One group that I work with where I'm on the board, I mean, the folks, when I go to board meetings, I'm sitting in million-dollar houses. Some groups, when I go to the board meetings, they're in the back room in the corner of a thrift shop where people are coming in, asking for, $50 so they can buy groceries, or pulling through, used clothing so they can have something for the kids to wear to school. So, my ideas on crime is, public safety is the number one responsibility of government. I mean, if the government can't assure the safety and security of its citizens, then it's not doing its job. But it has to secure the safety of its citizens, not by just locking up a bunch of people and building more and more prisons, but by understanding what the root cause of the problems are, and then conscientiously addressing those problems.
Okay. Last year, after the tragic slaying of an HPD officer and some controversy, HPD changed its policies regarding how it interacts with immigration enforcement and how it handles immigration-related questions with the citizenry. Do you agree with the changes that HPD made with its policies, and do you think it needs to make any further changes?
I'll tell you, immigration is a huge problem, and it's been shoved to the cities by the government in Washington, D.C., and by the government in Mexico City. I mean, really. I think what Washington, D.C. and Mexico City have both done to their citizens is really shameful. The idea of whether or not, Houston should be a sanctuary city, and whether or not, we should look the other way as far as whether a person has the legal right to be in the country, that's really a real difficult issue. But on one hand, when I filed to run for office, And when I'm elected, I take oath to be a city councilman, just like all the other city council members and the mayor. I pledge or I swear to, uphold the Constitution of the United States and its laws. In 1996, the Illegal Immigration Act that passed through Congress indicated that, local authorities would work with the INS in order to control illegal immigration. But the reality is, if every time a police officer saw someone he suspected of being illegal and asked him the question, and if he was, take him to jail, I mean, that's not workable. That's turning a police force that has tons of priorities and is short in manpower, you're turning them into, you know, Border Patrol or immigration agents. And that's not the response. And that's not really, you know, what the police force is designed to do. But as a city councilman, you know, on one hand, I look at the police force and I say, here's what we're funding the police force to do, you know, the normal policing activities. On the other hand, you know, I have an oath that I'm taking to, you know, uphold the laws of the country. But the reality of what we're living through means that I cannot fully fulfill my oath because of the resources that are available to me to control immigration. You know, the changes that were made as far as, you know, if a person is pulled into jail for criminal activities, then you can ask them then and fingerprint them and check with the INS. It's a step. And maybe it'll take the most hardcore, you know, repeat offenders off the street, which I hope it does. But it's this immigration issue and the issue of sanctuary city and the reality of having compassion for people who've been here but are not documented is a very difficult issue.
Okay. Another issue that's been in the news lately is historic preservation. City has taken action on a couple of fronts to abet those efforts. In particular, there's a proposal to offer tax waivers to some commercial properties that meet certain designations be considered historic. What's your opinion on this, and what, if anything, should City Council be doing to abet preservation efforts?
Yeah, I think the City Council and business working together has a place in far as preservation. You know, years and years and years ago, I was living in Houston, and I was dating someone who lived in Indiana. And we went together to see the movie Love Story when it first came out, and it was playing at the old Alabama Theater, which is now Bookstop. You know, whenever I go to Bookstop, right, I'd like to go there. You know, that thought always comes to mind. You know, buildings, whether we like it or not, are part of our heritage and part of our legacy. You know, there are things that we see when we grow up. There are things that bring back memories. In some cases, even like going through a photo album, where you look at things that have happened in the past, and it brings back memories. I respect private property. I think private property, the concept of private property, is very important. And our democracy, to a large extent, is based upon the principles of private property. But we can't just always throw away, you know, what's old and what maybe isn't economic. To the extent that government can, revise, its taxing system to provide incentives to those property owners so they're not penalized by owning a historic building or a historic site. You know, to the extent that our building codes can allow, historic buildings to be used incorporated into a new development, I think has a place. I want to respect private property, but I'm not in favor of wiping the slate clean just because a newer and higher and better use comes for a particular site. You know, I want to preserve Houston for my kids and my grandkids.
Okay. Last year, City Council extended a municipal smoking ban to cover just restaurants to bars, although there are still some exceptions for things like outdoor patios. Would you have voted for that, and do you think there's any more work to be done on that front?
Yes, I would have voted for it. I think that if an individual wants to smoke, given all the medical information that's available, I mean, that's their business. It's not my business. But it is my business that, citizens or myself should have to, be inconvenienced, by secondhand smoke. If the ordinance allows someone to go out into a patio, that's not mass remote where the smoke is not coming into the indoor area, well, that's fine with me. You either want to go out there and smoke, that's fine. But I don't think that indoor smoking should be allowed. And I don't think that smoking right by the entrances to buildings, you know, should be allowed.
Okay. Mayor White has taken some action on the environmental front, negotiating with some chemical plants, most of which are outside of Houston's city limits, try and get them to agree to some reductions in benzene emissions. There's been some criticism of this from other area mayors. There's also some legislation now in the legislature to sort of clip his wings on that. Generally speaking, do you agree with the approach he's taken? And, you know, as someone who has a background in the energy industry, how do you evaluate the arguments that, you know, that this kind of regulation harms the industry?
I think Mayor White has a lot of guts, and he's smart. And, he went out, he took a step out on this one, and I applaud him for it. And I think deep in the deepest of their hearts, a lot of people working in the energy industry probably said, wow, I mean, this guy is serious. The other mayors, maybe he stepped on their toes a little bit. Maybe he could have done a little more groundwork to get them on board. But he did the right thing. If a plant is emitting benzene and it's blowing into the city of Houston, I mean, you can't put up a wall to keep it from blowing in. It's going to come in. I mean, what are you going to do but go after the source? So he did the right thing. And if I was on city council, I'd be right behind him. And if I was on city council, I would use my, my contacts in the energy industry, my knowledge of the industry, to sit down with those folks, help the mayor sit down with those folks, and say, hey, look, let's be reasonable about this. You guys know better than anybody else the effects of benzene. I mean, benzene is one of the most dangerous carcinogens. If you put a drop of benzene in a swimming pool, that pool is polluted. And you guys know it. It's a matter of economics. You need to do the right thing for the long term. And a lot of times businesses will say, if we have to face this kind of regulation, we'll just do business somewhere else in some other city. Well, the fact is, you're not going to move a huge chemical plant or a huge refinery, somewhere else. Back years ago, when Huey Long was the governor of Louisiana, and he was putting taxes on Esso, which is today's Exxon, he threatened to move the refinery at Baton Rouge up the river to Memphis. I mean, that's not going to happen. I think, the mayor, the city government, city officials, experts, all working together with the companies, can find ways to reduce the benzene emissions that and other emissions, that are affecting, the livelihood and health of the people of the city of Houston. Timing, is always an issue. If you're in the energy business, first thing you learn is the time value of money and how to push things, things out in the future, because things cost less in the future because of, discount rates and so forth than they cost today. So I think you sit down with industry and you say, this is what needs to be done. Now let's figure out the timing for doing it. And, their job is to drag their heels. Our job is to push. And I think at the end of the day, you'll come to a good solution.
Okay. Another proposal that has recently come out is one called a pay or play proposal for firms that do contract work with the city, where they are either to provide health care benefits to their employees or to contribute to a fund that would help offset the cost of taking care of uninsured sick people. What's your opinion of this?
I think every American has the right for health to health care. I don't see health care, good quality health care, as being a privilege. I see it as being a right. The Canadians have a health care system. The Germans have it. The French have it. Lesser developed countries have it. Health care means that you care about your people. And one unfortunate thing about that I see in today's environment is a shifting away from caring for the American people. The American people are the core of this country. They built this country. This is their country. It's we the people, the Constitution says. We the people of the United States. It's not we the special interests of the United States. Health care, I'm very passionate about health care. Everybody deserves health care, quality health care. Folks who want to do business with the city, they should be required to have in their contracts and provide to their employees health benefits.
Okay.
And not just marginal health benefits, but health benefits that are real.
Okay. In his State of the City address, Mayor White spoke about setting some goals for the city that were conservation related, things like reducing the amount of energy the city uses by 5% over 5 years, reducing the amount of vehicle fuel consumed, regardless of how many miles are traveled, and also creating a fund to reduce the amount of solid waste the city produces. What's your opinion of this, and what specific steps do you think the city should be taking to meet those goals that he laid out?
I think it's in the city's interest, its economic interest, and the interest of its citizens, just their health benefits, to cut the energy consumption and cut the amount of emissions. Folks look at gasoline prices, and when they're going down, they say, "Gee, I'm saving money on gasoline." If they're going up, "Gee, I'm paying more money for gasoline." But they're only seeing part of the economic picture of what it costs to move around. One direct piece, of course, is the cost of your vehicle, but it's also your time. The way the city has sprawled out, it costs more to police the city, per person or per square mile than it does places like Los Angeles, because we're so spread out. It costs more to pick up trash than in Los Angeles, because the garbage trucks have to travel further. The cost to citizens of driving to work, some citizens will say, "Gee, I come to Houston and I can, get a 3,000 square foot house, out in Katy, and for a much lower price than I can get it in some other city, and wow, what a great buy." But then you also have to factor in your transportation costs and your time, and then with transportation, even with the the emissions controls on vehicles, you're still putting some degree of pollutants in the air. Some folks say, "Well, gee, what we ought to do is just go to electric vehicles, and the hybrids are the answer." But they're not really the answer, because the more electric vehicles you put on the road, the more electricity you have to produce. And where does electricity come from? Well, it comes from power plants. And what kind of power plants do we have? Well, we had the controversy just recently about building coal-fired power plants, which just, it's like using 1950 technology to solve a problem. It puts pollutants in the air. Or you can say, "Well, we'll just use natural gas, build the new plants to use natural gas." But gee, that's still consuming resources that we should protect for future generations. And so I think that the mayor's going in the right direction. I don't think in his remaining 2 or 3 years he's going to really be able to make fundamental change, but I think he's starting. And when I'm on city council, I view being on city council as just one step for people who think the way I think. Part of the reason why I'm running, in addition to my concern about economic development, is to serve as a model for how someone with my background and my interest in serving the community can have an impact. I hope that, naturally, I hope that I win. But even if I win and win 3 times and serve 6 years, well, then after 6 years, what happens? I hope that my campaign inspires other people who are like-minded to also want to run. If I win, I hope that after my term or terms are over, it'll be somebody else to step in my shoes. I'm hoping that this campaign is the beginning of a process to put people who think like I do into positions where they can affect policy and really help the city move forward.
All right. Well, you touched on term limits here. There are some proposals out there to change the nature of Houston's term limits. Do you agree with the way term limits are set up now, 3 2-year terms, or do you think that there should be changes made, like to 4-year terms or more 2-year terms? What do you think about that?
Well, I think 6 years is the right length of time for someone to totally serve in city council or as mayor. I think the turnover is good. And also, I think that service to the city as a, on city council or as mayor is an honor that needs to be shared and not held by just one person. I think if I'm elected, I would see that as an honor. That's not something that's mine to keep forever, but it's a time for me to serve the city. I see myself as being a citizen politician, and with more emphasis on citizen than a politician. I feel very uncomfortable when I hear somebody is a long-term professional politician. I feel very uncomfortable when I look at some of the tenure of our folks who are in the state legislature, where they're looking at, where they brag about being in the state legislature for 10, 15, 20 terms. I think that's much, much too long. I think an individual, who has interest in the city should serve for, should have the honor of serving for, a period of time, and then let that person go back to serving the city in other ways. For example, I feel right now that I'm serving the city. For the last 5 years, I've worked with all types of agencies all through the city, all types of nonprofits, all on a non-fee, pro bono basis. And I think that's serving the city. I helped the Urban League with their Katrina effort. I helped a group called People Helping People, which is a Filipino group. I've worked with the Holocaust Museum. I've worked with groups out on the west side of town and the south side of town, and that's serving the city. If I'm elected to the city council, I'll serve the city on a different platform. But when my 2-year term on my 6 years is up, I go back to serving the city in another kind of way. 6 years, I think, is the right number. Whether it's 2 threes or 3 twos, 2 threes or 3 twos. I think I would maybe lean towards the 2-3-year terms. Not everybody learns at the same pace. And in 2 years, I've heard some of these current city council members say that, gee, it took me a year to find the bathroom. I think that you have to give the diversity of people who are coming to city council, a chance to get their feet on the ground and to learn what they're doing and to do it well. I think one of the advantages of someone, with a background like I have, is that, when I come to city council, I don't have to learn how to read a budget for the first time. I've been reading budgets for the last 33 years. I come out of an environment where, when you're moving up, that you change jobs every 2 years. I mean, I've had a period of time in my life where I was changing jobs, every 14 months and expecting to produce and do things. But not everybody, is conditioned the way I've been conditioned. So I think, in summary, a total term limit, I agree, 6 years. How it's divided up, I would probably vote more towards 2-3-year terms.
Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about that I haven't asked you about?
Well, just in a general sense, and I already alluded to it, I think that the opportunity to run for city council is a privilege. I feel that this has been, a gift that I've been able to move into and to do. Naturally, the gift of having the time to do it, comes from, the many years I've spent, developing a career and being able to serve the city, the city's nonprofit community, and to get to know the city. But it's been like a gift, and in many ways I feel that I've already won, in that I've gotten around the city, I've met a lot of people, I've talked to a lot of people. It's surprising how many people are willing to help. A lot of people, when they find out I'm running for a city council, they congratulate me. And when I first started running, they said, "Oh, congratulations." I said, "Yeah, I haven't won yet." But the congratulations, I think, is that I had the courage and the guts to stand up and say, "Well, I want to help the city, and city council, is a platform to do it." So, the running for city council, the running for mayor, the running for any office, it's kind of like a journey. In many journeys, people focus towards the end point. You know, I'm gonna get there. And they neglect the experiences along the way. And you know, along the way on this journey, you know, I've had some very good experiences. I've met some great people. You know, naturally, I've had some ups and downs, and I'll still have some ups and downs. I'd be naive to think that I'm not going to have, you know, some days that are real downers and some, you know, and some things that I don't like. But that's the nature of it. And you know, I hope I win on May 12th because I have some good ideas. But in many ways, I feel that I've already won.
All right. Ivan Mayer, thank you very much for talking to me, and good luck to you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.